Mm-hmm.
Speaking of beer, greetings, Afroposse, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Afropole of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
Seriously, and James? Guest. With very, very special guest.
That was you, Salsa.
Okay, good.
Hey, it's me.
Salsa, that was you. That was your pause.
Yeah, that was
I was so flustered by James fucking up.
Yeah. No.
Why would that surprise you, though, Salsa?
Well, there's that.
I'm glad we have three gentlemen
the
on the podcast.
Whatever.
No, I'm glad we have three gentlemen on the podcast that all sound vaguely similar. I think this is going to work out great.
Do we, though?
Three gentlemen of Actually, Verona.
I think Salsa and Troy sound fairly similar. James, you have a melodic pitch thing that happens a lot. That
It's the alcohol. Is
Oh, okay.
That's
speaking of alcohol.
Yes,
I am drinking a Fitger's beer because I was in Duluth.
Surprising few.
This time I am drinking the Fitger's Tea Time Sour, and this is called the Tea Time Sour. T-E-E. Tea time as in golf. Called because this is inspired by the Arnie Palmer.
Okay.
It is.
Oh,
it
I was going to say, it's pronounced Tea Timey.
You're no. a Tea Timey.
No, it's like the golf. But this is. It's got black tea, and lemon and raspberry. So it's supposed to be like a raspberry Arnie Palmer beer. So.
And they fucked that up with hops, huh?
Nope, they made it amazing.
You know,
it's
possible that the bitterest thing on this podcast might be Jenna.
Quite.
Not a possibility. That
the
is
raspberry. The raspberry is very front with the lemon, the lemonade. So it's like got the raspberry lemonade right in the front, with the tea kind of settling in the back a little bit. It is quite tart. It is one of the more sour sours that I have had, but it is not unpleasantly so. Like, it is very tart, but it fits the flavors so well that it doesn't hurt.
All right.
It's fantastic.
That.
Yeah.
It is
fantastic. Yeah, raspberries are actually... Raspberries are pretty acidic.
Yeah.
All right.
I will be able to drink that whole glass, even though it is a sour. All right. Who's next?
I'm very happy for you, Salsa.
I can go.
Okay.
I've got some Jinro Mak Gul Lee. It's a Korean carbonated rice wine. I picked it up at our favorite liquor store. Hums. And half of the bottle was sacrificed to the teaching gods, and the other half was left for me.
Which is appropriate, yeah. So, how is it?
It's very weird. It's and like it's
a
not,
Korean beverage is weird, you don't say.
But like I'm used to It is unlike anything I've had before, despite the fact that it should be comprised of things that are extremely, you know, well known to me. It's a rice wine, so it's sake-like, and it has that sort of cloudy sake sweetness, like the snow sake sweetness, and then it's carbonated, so it should be a little bit like a seltzer, and it kind of is, but it's also got like almost like a lemony flavor to it. Like really subtle lemon flavor.
Okay. You know what? I was going to say subtle lemony flavor was the name of like an album or something, but I don't think it is. I think it's not quite. It's that indie rock self-produced CD that nobody ever buys, I think.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So it's also, the next Dregs album.
Also,
that's funny.
Jenna, calling it weird is very Eurocentric of you.
I'm the one who called it weird.
That's true.
Jenna said everything.
I just called it not.
Oh, that's very fair.
Oh, no, I'm horrible. I'm here to colonize. So,
No, it's okay. You're dating a Chinese person.
Speaking of, I'm happy to...
Yeah.
You guys know that doesn't give me permission.
It's not,
okay,
yeah, and also, that's not...
According
how anything
to,
works.
According to colonization
Joe
rules, it does.
Can say those things and still be a jerk.
Yes,
but
you've colonized his humor. You only.
I have seven problems with what you're saying. Five of them are that Salsa is talking.
Salsa, I do not want to colonize Joe's humor. He can have that.
That is an entirely fair statement.
Yeah. So anyway, other ways that I can make cultural appropriation awkward is I'm having a Dr. Tiki.
Fair enough.
Yep. That's it.
Well, all right.
Yeah. Awesome.
It is amazing as always, but I needed that very comfortable, I didn't need the punch of a Dr. Fix-It, I just needed that comfortable happy of the Dr. Tiki.
Mm-hmm. So.
And what about you, Troy? Yeah, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Revolt from Adroit Theory.
Oh,
and it's got a lovely Baroness from G.I. Joe logo on it. It is an Imperial Hazy IPA, triple IPA, so it clocks at 10%.
Wow.
This will be my one drink for the night.
Yeah, and also
modest 10%.
Or else I won't finish the podcast. Yeah, and this one is Citra and Mosaic, so it's got a nice and has lactose in it, so it's nice, thick, rich.
Oh, goodness. That's like 15 reasons that Jenna.
How syrupy?
Yeah,
I can have lactose.
How syrupy?
It's not real syrupy, actually.
Really?
It does have a little bit of. It's not real syrupy. It has a little bit of sweetness. Just a touch of sweetness to it, which is nice because it kind of cuts the bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, there's no like alcohol heat to it or anything. It's real smooth and it's dangerous.
Very cool.
Just like the Baroness.
Smooth
and dangerous.
Aww.
Yeah. But yeah, I did not make this a Jenna jump up by adding some gin to it, but that's because it was already 10%.
Gin?
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, Jenna. Yeah. Yeah, an IPA with a splash of gin in it is real good, unless you don't like gin or IPAs like Jenna. That's why I call it the Jenna jump up, because it makes her jump up and run away.
There is so many layers to that, and I love every single one of them.
Yeah, it's a parfait of calling Jenna out.
It is.
I'm conflicted.
It is an onion parfait. Of layers.
You know, Troy, I was going to be nice to you as a guest on the podcast, but now...
Those halcyon salad days are over.
Yeah, I can't remember if we're still fighting either, so it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we resolved that fight. Enough fighting gifts, and that will take care of that. But
yeah.
Also, I bought your honey. So.
I know. That
and it's
I appreciate
delicious,
it.
By the way.
Good.
Best goddamn honey I've ever had.
That all came from within a couple miles of my house. So,
well,
did you have
you
to track down the individual bees and milk them?
Yes, they have teats, so you can milk them because you can milk anything with teats.
Mm-hmm.
Oh That's my god, I forgot you do have my address. Shit, I have to move. God damn it.
Oh, that realization was very satisfying.
But you did request to give me your address, so that's different.
Yeah. I did. This is my fault, and I can't even be mad about it, but I'm still going to give a disgruntled look every once in a while.
Yeah, I guess the only person's address I don't have is James.
So I am safe for now.
No, for now. Mm-hmm. You don't have James's address Yet.
So, aside from gathering personal information on the rest of us, what have you been up to, everyone?
We should say, Troy is here not only because he's fabulous, but Troy won our auction item, mm-hmm. the silent auction for Die Laughing.
Oh yeah!
I did indeed. I did that without internet access. We all went off to a cabin that weekend, and so I put a bid in real early, which is why Jenna about fell off of her chair when someone said that someone had already bid on the item. And that was me.
I was shocked. That's I was good just thinking. Like, who the fuck? Apparently, Troy.
I planned ahead.
Yeah. And nobody else.
I also. And I think one other person placed a bid.
Okay.
Not going to lie.
Did you just set a max and it just kept...
I did, yeah.
And it's not like where you have to
sit
there.
It could have gone so much higher. Yeah.
I see.
Nope, no one sniped me. They just let me win. I also bid on Eric's egg, but that went for twice what I was willing to pay for it. So
egg.
Very good price.
It was gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. I was like, I want to have this. I'm not going to have this. Okay.
Oh, yeah. The amount of desire I have for this has been consumed by the amount of desire I have for keeping a roof and electricity and food.
Exactly. Right. Yes. Exactly. But no, yeah. It was nice because I had never bid on this before because I was not willing to fly out to Minnesota to do the podcast.
So thank you,
COVID.
Uh-huh. Oh, silver linings.
I know, right?
Indeed.
So, with that intro, what have you been up to, Troy?
Oh, gosh. Well,
go ahead.
What haven't I been up to?
Salsa thought you were talking to him.
We usually talk to the guest in the second segment. We usually talk to the guest in the second segment, and so I was just like, I figured Jenna was talking to the core group, you know, like we do.
Well, no, but you asked.
I did. No, I know what I did. I'm aware of what I did. Thank you.
The pattern. I followed the established rules that you set up. Just try to meet your expectations. Welcome.
Troy, do you want to go see a movie while mom and dad are fighting? Or?
You pick now of all times to actually listen to me?
Uh-huh.
What the hell?
Going out for cigarettes? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm full of. I'm the one of those people who just has like a ton of hobbies. So I've been up to all kinds of stuff.
Oh, that's weird. We don't know anyone like that.
What would you like to hear about? I'm a beekeeper. Mm-hmm. I've been running some Dungeons and Dragons games online for people who have not played before. I make my own beer. I don't know what sounds good. I have many things. I can talk about all of them a lot.
Let's start with bees.
Bees, okay.
How did you become a beekeeper? Why did this pique your interest? And tell me about how to beekeep.
Imagine that there was a knock on the door on some rainy evening and there's a tiny little bassinet with a note pinned to it and a little bee stuck inside.
Oh my God. No.
that one is totally my wife's fault. Her family is from Greece. She was born here, but her family's from Greece. Mm-hmm. And she had an uncle in Greece who kept bees. And when she remembered visiting as a child and was always kind of interested in it. There was a local beekeeping club who was doing classes for a couple weekends one year. So we signed up for those. And after the first class, I was like, I don't know about this. This sounds like a lot of work. And then after the second class, they made it clear that you're not doing all of that work every week. It gets all spread out over the course of the year. And I'm like, oh, okay, this seems much more manageable now. And so we then signed up and bought two nukes, which unfortunately are not bombs. That's short for a nucleus hive, which is just five frames of bees with a queen. Okay. We bought, you know, like the hives are the kind that you just keep stacking boxes on top of each other for the hives.
Sure.
so that you can expand them and shrink them as you need to. And we put two of those out in our backyard. And the first year, like, they spend all of their energy building wax for the hive, because it takes the same amount of energy to produce a pound of honey as it does, or I'm sorry, it takes as much energy to produce a pound of wax as it does 12 pounds of honey.
Wow.
So wax is very, very calorie intensive for them. So that's, we just fed them sugar water all year long and let them gather whatever they could from the area. And we grabbed one frame of honey just to try it, because, you know, we had bees, we wanted to try some honey. Sure. And we had that for ourselves. And then the next year, in order to help prevent them from swarming, we took two hives and split them out into four hives total. And so we had four hives the second year, and we produced like 200 pounds of honey, I think, out of that. And apparently people really enjoy local honey, because we sold all of that at our jobs in about a month and a half.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that was pretty shocking to us. Yes. Yeah. That was pretty nuts. And so the next year. Yeah. Right. I've never made mead yet, because we always sell all of our honey.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my God.
We literally have kept a pint for ourselves this year, and we have now sold the rest of it. Holy, or it's all shit. Spoken for. Hmm. We still need to deliver it to a few people. And this year wasn't quite as good. I think we had like 180 pounds, but also we weren't going into work anymore, and we were really surprised that the people who just bought like quarts of honey, and the number of people who still like sought us out, like, hey, do you have honey this year, even though like they weren't seeing us in person.
Right.
So yeah, it's a nice little like cottage hobby for us. Like, it pays for itself and then some. So
do you just,
you know, we don't, and
oh, sorry, do you just sell honey, or do you sell honey products?
We are starting to sell honey products. We did render some wax this year, and so we have like little like 1 ounce bars that we're selling. And then my wife
made wax.
Yeah, my wife made some lip balm with it, and everybody loves that. Like, they're like, this stuff lasts forever on your lips. So they've really enjoying that. And we've also did some like beard balm, which is took some experimenting, because the first ones came out really like really hard and didn't melt real well. And then you know, we softened it up a bit. That works nice. The problem is my wife got unprocessed cocoa butter for that.
Oh.
So it just smells like chocolate, no matter what other what other aromas or essential oils you put in it.
And this is a problem?
It just smells like chocolate.
I wish Joe had facial hair, or could have facial hair, because I want my boyfriend to smell like chocolate.
Just his beard.
Just start putting it on his eyebrows.
And, it's been really fun.
Friends, that was real fucking weird. I'm so sorry.
The reason I ask is because when I was growing up, we had local beekeeper was renting places to put bee hutches on our land, and when he was like, you know, I'll pay you, and Dad was like, no, you're not paying us, you're giving us honey. And it was like, perfect. And so every year we would get a couple boxes of like 5, you know, or gallon jugs of honey, but then we would also get things like honey barbecue sauce, and we would get spun honey, and we would get things like that. So that was always
we haven't branched out into that too much.
Okay. Well, the wax I need to get some wax from you to make some woodworking finishes. But so do you live in in an urban area or a suburb or rural or
not anymore? Suburb.
Well, okay, so this gets into a story. I live in a suburb.
Okay.
We are legally allowed by county ordinance to have up to 4 hives on our property. And as long as we follow certain easy rules, like, we can't be held liable for anything that might happen with our bees.
Sure.
Which, you know, because it's hard to prove whose bee stung you, you know, for one thing. So,
well, you look for the brand. But,
little luggage tags on them. Yeah.
You look for the brand.
I just pictured...
Circle B.
I actually just pictured like a bee stinging somebody and being like, "This is for Troy." And
the Lancers send their regards.
See, I went straight.
Wearing this little shirt.
I went straight to the Cowboys on the Frontier branding the bees.
Yeah.
And I went to Vindictive Bees because sure, why not? I do. Bee army sounds amazing. I'm just saying.
So almost 2 years ago, I developed a bee allergy. Which was fun. So, but I, you can develop a bee allergy at any point. I've probably been stung a good 20, 30 times before developing it. But I'm on, I'm on shots. I take a antihistamine before I go to the bees. I also wear like a full body suit with leather gloves and rubber boots.
Sure.
So I'm, you know, and my wife is always with me, and I always have an EpiPen with me when I go to the bees. So I take care of myself as much as I can. Mm-hmm. Don't worry for me.
Have you considered trading in your current full body suit for one that's meant for beekeeping instead of fetish wear?
Well,
just as a suggestion.
James.
I mean, I like to combine my hobbies, James.
Okay.
If that's their fetish, don't duck your helm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Troy's into BDS.
Oh no! I can't even be mad at that one. I want to be so bad, and I can't.
You can be. It's you're allowed.
Oh no!
That's hard to be mad at.
Yeah.
So we.
I'm sure James will pun again. And I will have an opportunity, possibly in the next 5 minutes. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So that kind of made our backyard a little difficult for me to be in a lot. I would mow in a bee suit, which was always fun. And then last spring during COVID, it was a really warm winter and a warm spring, and we did not get a jump on things. And a lot of beekeepers in the area did not get a jump on things. And we had probably a good eight to 13 swarms come out of our hives over the course of a month and a half.
Oh.
And one of our neighbors did not appreciate that because they also were stuck in their house. And she had a bit of a meltdown at us. And so just, we were like,
you say swarm. What exactly, what does that mean? What is triggering this?
Okay.
What is,
how
do you stop it?
Before you answer that, can I tell you what goes on in my head?
Yes.
Because I am a project manager and a certified scrum manager.
Oh, sure.
Or scrum master. And in agile methodology, to swarm is an act wherein a whole bunch of people kind of come together to work on a specific task or user story or product or whatever. So it's basically like everybody swarms the issue or swarms the mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. So every time you say 8 to 10 swarms or whatever, I'm just like, how many people are working on this problem? Like, that's what's happening in my brain.
Bee swarms are the exact opposite. So bee swarms are how hives reproduce. 'Cause when you think of bees, mm-hmm. Bees don't think of themselves as individual units. They are part of a hive, and they care about the hive more than anything, even more than themselves, and that's why they will sting you, because that kills them.
Yep.
So they're willing to sacrifice their lives to defend the hive. The hive is what matters. So it's a super organism. So the hive, like organisms
like
do...
Like redditors.
They reproduce, unlike redditors. And I think...
That would be subhuman.
So what they do is they have the queen lay a bunch of eggs that they start turning into new queens. Mm-hmm. And once they get to a certain point in development, half the workers, mostly the foragers, the ones that go out, the older ones who go out and gather stuff, they go up and they gorge themselves on the honey in the hive. And they take off with the old queen, and they fly to somewhere kind of nearby and they hang out there, and then scouts go out and look for a new place to live.
Okay.
And it's rather dramatic because it's kind of like a tornado of bees comes out of your hive and then congregates somewhere. We've had them congregate on our fence, in a tree near us, on our neighbor's fence, which was after she'd already had her meltdown at us. So that was an extra meltdown trigger for her. Yeah. And so then a new queen emerges in the old hive, and then she goes out and gets mated, and they just keep going along.
Enter, one leaves.
Yeah. Oh, no, that happens, Salsa. What'll happen if two queens emerge at about the same time, you can actually hear them piping at each other. They call to each other, and they get together, and they fight. And
can't we just get beyond Thunderdome?
No.
And then if the lone queen left...
No, I love the idea of two queen bees fighting. I'm in.
Yeah, and the lone queen left will then go and try to find all the other queen cells in the hive, and it will sting them to kill them. So that she is the only one.
That's fair.
Now, that's what we want to have. Yes. That's what we want to have happen, actually. We only want one new queen in the hive, because if there ends up with more than one queen in the hive, they will swarm again. And that is what happened to us. I think we had one hive throw three or four swarms in 1 week.
Jesus.
Like, they just apparently kept hatching and swarming and hatching and swarming, and to the point where...
Like their gender reveal parties or something.
Yeah. And that hive actually ended up without a queen, because apparently whatever one actually went out to go get mated either didn't come back or ended up in a different hive.
Went out for cigarettes.
Yep. And so we ended up splitting out again to create a new hive for that one. But yeah, bees are...
Is there a warning
bees
signs?
Are vicious to each other.
Can you, like, tell this is going to happen, or does it just suddenly, like, holy shit...
If you are going and looking inside your hives, you can tell it's going to happen, because you will see frames, which, you know, each of our boxes holds 8 frames of comb, and you pull them out, and along the bottom of the brood frames, there will be these little, like, peanut-looking cells hanging from the bottom. Those are queen cells. If you have one or two, maybe three in the hive, they're probably just planning on getting rid of their current queen and replacing her with a new one. Where, you know, and when that happens, they'll just ball up around the old queen and kill her with their body heat.
Mutant.
And then, yeah, bees are
vicious.
That's
how I want to go.
Yeah, and then a new queen will emerge, and they'll celebrate her. A lethal cuddle pile.
I mean, if you got to go, and, with a smile.
That's right? Yeah, that's fine. It's when you pull up a frame and there's 10 queen cells hanging off of it, and you pull up other frames and there's 6 or 7 queen cells on each of those. You're like, oh, they're going to, at that point, they're going to swarm.
If they've gotten that far, they're going to swarm. By, like, getting rid of those cells, or?
You, not getting rid of the cells. The trick is, if you can find the old queen, you move her to a new hive with a bunch of the old bees and some empty frames. And sometimes you can trick them into thinking they already swarmed, because they're like, oh, hey, we're in this new place. There's no eggs. There's no there's no stores. Oh, hey, this must be our new home. Okay, that's fine. And then they won't swarm.
So this may be getting
Sometimes works.
This may be getting too deep into bee psychology, which maybe I'm asking the wrong person. But, like, when a new queen is born, like obviously the hive, we talk about the hive mind. How does the hive divvy themselves up? Like, is there ever a queen born and everybody's like, nope, we're sticking with this one?
No, because they intentionally raise queens. They will feed a new larva royal jelly constantly instead of just at the very beginning.
Okay.
And that will cause that will cause the larva to turn into a queen. So they intentionally create their queens.
Okay.
The trick to prevent swarming is to
I'm just like, you're like, there's 2 or 3 or 10, you know, queen babies, and then, like, they're born, and, like, the hive is suddenly all going jets and sharks with each other, like, brother against brother, you know, we've suddenly got the Capulets and the Montague bees.
Their little limbs.
I'm just like...
Well, the swarm leaves before the new queen hatches or emerges. They usually leave, like, somewhere between 3 and 5 days before the new queen comes out.
Okay.
So they're already out of there. The Thunderdome happens when a bunch of new queens all come out at once. And then they have to decide who's the best.
And the queens fight amongst themselves. And it's not a pose-off. It's not the bees that are fighting. Right.
Nope, they just want a queen. They don't care which one.
Oh, okay. So it's because not, so it's not the hive that's getting split up. It's just the individual queens that are vying for supremacy at that point. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay, that makes sense.
Unless they decide to just swarm with one of the new queens and they go off with her, but I don't know how they decide which queen gets left behind at that point, but they so that's the best way to prevent swarms, though, is to give them lots of room early on in the year, and so that's why we split the hives. We take half the brood from the hive and put it into a new hive, and replace it with empty frames. And then they're like, "Oh, we have all this space. We're not ready to reproduce yet because we have all this work to do."
Right.
So it's when the hive gets full that they're like, "Oh, we've been so successful. We can split." And everything will be okay.
We can franchise.
Yeah, so you have to keep them like living hand to mouth, and you're fine.
Whoa! Right. So it's like capitalism.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
With a little buzzing proletariat.
Yeah, yeah, and it's funny because everyone has the impression that the queen like controls the hive. She doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
The workers can decide it. The workers can decide at any point to replace her. Her job is to unite the hive with her pheromones
and make babies
and to lay eggs. That's all she does. She lays eggs like up to thousands a day. And they take her pheromones. Like they'll go up and they'll stroke her and then carry the pheromones out into the hive so that they're like, "Hey, look, we have a queen. She smells great. You know, everything's fine." Everything's fine. It smells great.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
This got really dirty. Oh my.
So yeah, like bees are fascinating creatures. I didn't realize how interesting they were until we started taking these classes, and we're like, "Wait, they do what?" And wait, and then this happens, and they do this. Why? Holy cow! Like they're amazing creatures, and but now we have since moved them out. They now live on a farm. They are not dead. We visited them this weekend, even though we sent them out to a farm. But no, and
were they chased rabbits?
Yeah, well, hopefully not.
That'd be weird.
That they're not doing their jobs if they're chasing rabbits.
That would be terrible for both the bees and the rabbits.
Yep,
nobody happens.
Yeah, but this farmer gets a credit for having bees on his land to his taxes.
Oh,
so
nice.
we don't have to pay him anything. He wants us there because he saves money on his taxes.
The government pays.
So yep, and we still give him some honey just because, you know, we're not jerks.
Sure.
And and he gave us some meat a couple weeks ago when we were out there visiting.
Wow. Very symbiotic relationship happening.
Exactly. And because he's got pigs and he just got some cattle. He was doing some chickens, but I think he's getting out of that now, especially because a fox took out one of his roosters on Friday. Yeah, like he's also renting out some pasture for horses to someone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they have a stallion that does not like vehicles. So we have to park outside the pasture, load up a little wagon full of whatever we're going to take out there, and then haul this wagon across the pasture, up a hill, down a hill, and out the other side of the pasture. And also, I cannot have my bee hood up because apparently he does not like that either. The first time we went there, I put my suit on, I put my hood up because, you know, it's like part of my suit. Mm-hmm. And he starts making like angry noises at me, and I'm like, "I think I'm going to take this down now so that I can get into the pasture and not get kicked."
Right.
And he was fine with me after that. And actually, the first he is. But the first time we went there with the horses, they literally like escorted me across the pasture. Just they were really close to me, wondering what I was doing all the way across the pasture. I have like five horses just like practically circling me, and I'm like,
horses,
I know you're
really scary because they can sting you more than once.
Yeah. I was worried, like, man, if I trip and fall, I'm a goner because they're just gonna keep walking the way they're going. But no, it was fine. They were very friendly, but they were a little too friendly. Yeah. So, but they're
doing, buddy.
Yeah, and it's Yeah. Hey, you got anything for me? Anything? Because any grain, any sugar? We actually did pull sugar out of the hives once with the horses there, and I had to like keep them away from the cart because they get going. I smell sugar. Yeah. There's sugar over here. I like sugar.
Yeah. Got any of that sugar for us?
Yeah.
I'd like one cube, man. One cube. I just need one cube to get me through the day.
Yeah. So,
we also had to. Oh, go ahead, Salsa.
Oh, so you're pulling 200 pounds of honey out of these four hives. How often are you harvesting this? Like, is this all happening at once, or is this happening throughout the season? Or
so the rule of thumb is any honey in the hive before July 4th is the beekeepers. Any honey in the hive after July 4th is the bees. So especially when we had them in our backyard, we would just let them fill boxes, and then we would just probably pull an entire hive's boxes at once. This time, now that we have them, I have to drive an hour to the bees. We most likely are just going to pull it as we see it. If they have like frames that are just fully capped honey, we'll probably just pull those and take them out with us, because there's no way I want to haul 200 pounds of honey out of there unless I have the car. Unless I can drive the car down to them and load it in there. So our plan is just to pull it now as we get it. And we usually would go into August for harvesting in our backyard, so we'll probably do that. And then we'll feed them sugar water afterwards to give them stores to use for the winter. And So
what are they, where are they getting the pollen from now? Like what flowers, is it clover honey, or is
right now it's mostly it's mostly flowering trees right now. The farmer had some apple. Get some apple trees on his property, so we got some apple. They're working the apple blossoms pretty hard. They'll do dandelions. If there's some magnolia trees in the forest, they're the woods near him, so we'll get some of that. If any black locust, it produces a ton of nectar. If there's some near within like 2 or 3 miles of the farm, they'll probably hit that and bring a lot back from that. It depends. We call ours wildflower honey, which is you know, beekeeper parlance for we don't know what the heck's in it. Just wherever they went. And it's funny, like you will get, depending on the time of year, you will get totally different honey. A lot of when we could when we could pull it in our backyard, a time where it would be a really pale, almost clear yellow. And then other times it gets that nice kind of rich, almost brown color.
Yeah, that
as you get later into the season. Yeah, right. And that's and they taste totally different. We actually, when we take the frames and we extract the honey from them, we kind of group them by color, and then we try to extract out by that so that we would have different like flavors of honey. I say that, and so we would taste them and see what tasted similar, what tasted different, and then we group them by flavor. And it's so funny though, because like I go to work, I'd bring like three sample jars with me, and people would start tasting them, and they would start discussing and even arguing about which one tasted better and why. And like, really, you like that one? Why do you like, you don't like this one? And, oh, it's so funny. And like, they was good natured arguing, but I was like, man, you people are way more into this honey than I am, and I'm the one who's responsible for the bees who produced it.
Well, yeah, that's
no, it's true though.
Yeah, now this last year we just did it. We just
making mead. It very much makes a difference what kind of honey you use.
Oh yeah, there's like you could get Tupelo honey or fireweed honey and all kinds of stuff. But yeah, there's no way for us to legally say it's a certain kind of honey. You have to be able to say like 90-some% of the flowering plants in your area are this kind of plant.
Sure.
So there's no way we're gonna be able to do that. There's a lot of wineries near us, but unfortunately, like grapevines don't really, your grape blossoms don't produce a lot of interesting things for honeybees. So they might roll around in there a little bit and, you know, pollinate them, but they're not gonna get much nectar out of them. So
cute.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's beekeeping.
That was amazing. It, holy shit.
Yeah.
What else do you want to talk about? Or should we take a break?
Can I ask a question about bees?
Is it allowed, James?
Is it? Oh, okay. Well, there's always that.
I mean, is the question actually going to be about bees, or is it going to sound like it's about bees and be about something else?
It'll probably start about bees.
Okay.
Or it will start as something else and then end up as bees.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's fine, too.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh,
are you going to ask your question?
Yeah, I suppose. All right.
Can I ask you a question? Yes.
Okay, good.
That was it.
Wanted to know I could.
That was the question. No. Is what attracts bees to flowers? Someone said that flowers are like little blacklight posters for bees.
Yes.
That they have a
they like them
like little landing lights and yes, that they have like little UV landing strips and things like that in order to draw bees in. Is that a thing?
Yeah, so yes, so bees can see up into the ultraviolet spectrum, and they don't see so well into the like red side of things. Basically, if you took like our vision and shifted it upwards, that's kind of what bees see. So, like, you can wear red, and that's not so bad with bees. If you wear something blue, that definitely is something they can see and will maybe think it's an enemy. But yes, so they do see ultraviolet. They and they see like polarized light. Like they see like actually they can see the direction of light, which is which is how they orient themselves.
Oh.
So and that's also like when they do their waggle dances. The over the, you know when they say there's you know if you go this far this direction you'll find flowers. Mm-hmm. Well, if you watch the bees over time over the course of the day, their dance turns with the sun. So they use their dance to reference versus the sun when they came in. So they can see the direction of light, and so yes, but flowers do tend to have ultraviolet patterns on them that we can't see, but bees can, and they will follow those into the flowers to see if they have nectar, because that's actually what bees want, is they want nectar.
Yeah,
the pollen's a kind of, they use pollen as a protein source, mostly for the larva that they're raising.
Mm-hmm.
But the what they really want is nectar, and so the flowers trade them nectar to get them to move their pollen around, basically.
Right, yeah,
they're just Mountain Dew junkies.
Yeah, yeah, they want sugar water, and they will help you fertilize your neighbors with it. So they do actually. There is ultraviolet coloring on a lot of flowers.
That's awesome.
So yeah.
Well, and especially like I had no idea about the polarized light and everything like that. So that was
right.
Yeah, yeah, and that's
they're
it's
like
funny.
Little sundials.
Yes, and it's really funny because about 2 in the afternoon, if we go out and look at the hives, it looks like the first thing everyone thinks is, oh my gosh, it's a swarm, but it's not a swarm. The bees are actually flying away from the hive, looking at the hive, and they do like these little figure eights, and what they're doing is memorizing where the hive is in relation to things. And they're called orientation flights. So what they're doing is fixing the hive in their minds, so then when they go out to get stuff, they know how to find the hive when they come back.
Wicked.
That's
amazing.
Yeah,
it's so GPS.
Cool. Yeah, and we call it flight school because what happens is like, you know, a day's worth of bees that came out, like all the bees that emerged on a certain day, they get to a certain age, they go out and they start doing these flights. So you get a mass of them at once. It's not like one bee doing this little orientation flight. It's like 400 bees doing their orientation flight all at once.
I'm getting my license, guys.
yeah, pretty much.
They have to toss their little hats.
Yeah, and there's a whole like
very cute.
And there's a whole life cycle to bees too. So when they first come out, their first job is to clean the cell they came out of for the next egg to be laid into.
Clean
it.
Your room.
Exactly, and then they start. They clean at first for a few days, and then they become nurse bees who feed. You know, they feed royal jelly and nectar to the developing larvae before they cap them and then they go through their pupa stage and they change into actual bees, which is a weird thing. Like, they go from worms to a liquid to a bee. It's the weirdest thing. Mm-hmm. Like, they liquefy and reform, and I don't know how they know how their DNA knows how to put that back together, but it does.
Do you not do that?
And it's amazing. I mean, I maybe once I did.
There was a time in college.
I'm pretty sure that most of my teenage years were spent in a semi-liquid state. So,
I mean, how many mushrooms have you eaten, Salsa?
Just one, but it was gigantic.
The number is greater than zero.
Yeah.
But so they go.
The problem isn't that Salsa can't see color, it's that he sees all the colors all the time.
Even the ultraviolet ones on the flowers. Yeah. So after they do their nurse duty, they become builder bees because they get old enough and their abdomen has wax glands in it, and they produce the wax out of those. They produce sheets of wax, which they then like mold with their mouths into the shape they want to put where they want it. Like, so they're like, yeah. So they do that for a while, and then they become guard bees to defend the hive. And then finally, when they get old enough, they become foragers. And the reason they use old bees for foragers is because they can afford to lose them because they're not good for anything else.
Sure. Oh my God.
So most bees don't die in the hive. Most bees die going out foraging and just never make it back for whatever reason.
Jenna, which I've got some bad news for you.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
I need I'm you older to go get Jenna. Some cigarettes.
Here's my stinger, Salsa.
Womp, womp.
Yeah, but that's the worker bees. Now, the drone bees have a completely different life, the male bees.
Ah.
So they emerge.
They get up around noon.
Yeah, they do. They hatch.
Still in their little bathrobes.
Yeah. They emerge 3 days later than their worker counterparts. They cook longer. And then, so they come out, and they eat. They eat food brought to them by the workers. Brought into the hive by the workers. I think they go and like get it themselves. And then if the hive gets too hot, they'll fan their wings to help airflow. But their main job is to mate with other queens, not their own queen. Every place with bees has an area where all the drones gather. And it basically
it's a bar.
It's a harem. Call it a harem.
The drones from all over. The drones from all over the area gather in the drone congregation area is what it's called, and all the queens, the new virgin queens that emerge their queen cells after they've killed all the other queens, fly out there, and it's kind of like Dragon Riders of Pern, where the queen bee like flies by and all the drones chase her.
Yeah.
And
oh my God.
And so she they will mate. The drone catches her and they mate. His junk breaks off inside of her, and it pulls his guts out, and he dies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then she goes and mates with another bee, another drone, and they will hopefully be mated 20, 30 times in their one flight. They get one mating flight, and hopefully they will mate with like 20 to 30 drones, and that is all the genetic material they have for like the next up to like 5 years of egg production.
Wow.
So, but the drone, his goal is to die mating. If he doesn't die mating, sometime around September, the workers' bees are like, we're going into the winter. You don't contribute. And they will pull their wings and legs off and throw them out the front of the hive.
Yeah. That seems.
Oh, my God. I had a roommate that I wanted to do that.
All the drones.
It's the bee version of throwing the clothes and the TV and everything out on the front lawn.
Yep.
Yeah.
They call it the massacre of the drones because all the drones get killed because all they are is a drain on the hive at that
massacre
point.
Massacre of the Drones
don't want
is an, a, that is an amazing metal album name.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
I was going to say, that's my Coheed and Cambria cover band. That's
so yeah. So every fall that happens in every hive.
That is the most metal thing.
Oh, right? Bees are hardcore. Like, I was like, oh, bees.
I'm picturing the like the scene in episode 3 of Star Wars with the younglings, where just like the worker yeah. comes in the door and the youngling runs up and he's like, "Hi," and then like then all you see is the lightsaber.
Oh my god, spoilers, Balta.
The lightsaber is just making a bee noise, just yeah. so,
and then the door is closed and all you hear is
yeah. Now the workers will literally do anything to keep the hive alive, and like I said, they kill the all the, mm-hmm. they decide when to replace the queens, because if the queen's not laying well or if her pheromones get too weak, they'll mm-hmm. just they'll have her lay a new one and kill her off. Like they and wow. the queen, you know, and that's and the queen lays the egg based on the type of like the size of the cell that they give her. So they just build a little cup shaped little thing. She lays the egg in it for a queen, and then she moves on, doesn't think anything about it, but she's already signed her death warrant at that point.
Fuck, that's like walking into HR and seeing that there's just like a stack of cardboard boxes.
Just yeah. like, oh no.
Am I here for a raise?
Yes.
Yeah, no, bees are fascinating, but they are vicious to each other if they need to be. If it will save the hive, they will do anything.
It's very Kantian. Very mm-hmm. utilitarian.
Yep. But yeah, so that's yeah, I think that's all the good stories I have about beekeeping.
Bees are the very interesting big fans stories. Of Machiavelli.
Yeah.
I might need a break.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think we can do that. We're going to take a break, everybody. We'll be back.
I need to pee so bad, you guys. But, I'm squirming.
So, Troy, tell us about the
yeah. Interesting fact, in Italy, the word for peeing begins with the letter B, which is similar.
We're going to take a break for Jenna's sake. We'll be right back.
Oh, God, thank you.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
No.
It's in your butt?
Well, so you gained it in your
turn
butt?
Turn on the living room.
Yes, this is the joke I am choosing to make.
And we're back! Right. I'm Salsa!
James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm still Troy.
Yay!
In case you didn't get enough of me already.
And hey, Dr. Nick.
Did you...
What?
Hey, everybody.
James's face.
I'm so surprised.
James's face was fucking priceless. Because he didn't know what to do.
That was amazing.
Oh, my God.
It's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Yay!
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Jenna.
Yeah. Oh, don't sound so excited, Salsa. Jesus Christ.
That is his excited voice.
Yeah.
That is his excited voice.
That was my dramatic voice.
That's his hockey voice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
his dramatic
I'm sorry.
Hockey.
Ta-da.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. Just say the thing.
Okay. Hey, you guys. Are you ready for Fast Five?
Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Yay. All right. Question number. I'm good. Okay. question number. The problem is that there's just no way that I don't know when you're actually ready with the beeper.
I wait. Professionalism.
And then, like, I start to say it when the thing's up, but then you move it away because of the light.
Just surprise him, Jenna. It's more fun. Yeah.
Question number one. Oh, wow. That is either leg or I caught him very on surprise.
That's pretty bad leg is what that is.
All right, so question number one, in or out?
Indoors.
My belly
always.
Button is an innie.
I don't know. My belly's been going out lately.
Ooh.
I want to be inside.
Mm.
What if there's snow?
I want to be inside.
All
right. I don't know. I've been enjoying the outside lately between, like, going out to the bees and just we got a new patio put in and we're starting to get furniture for it, so
you bring somebody out there, they show up with a towel and you're like, I very much misheard what you said we were going to.
I'm gonna go with out.
All right.
I think, did everybody say?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think I'm gonna say out. Question number two. Wow, that's a leg. Okay, for me, not for Salsa. That's who counts. Large or small?
Small.
Ooh.
I like tiny things.
Yeah. Ooh, let's see. What's context on this one?
Go big or go home.
Tiny car.
I would rather enjoy a large, like a pint of beer, rather than like a 4 ounce like flight pour, so I'm gonna go with large.
All right. I am gonna say large as well. Question number three.
That was slow. Leg. That was slow reaction time. With that.
No, I think that was leg. Far away or up close?
Near?
Near?
I had the same
far.
Yes. Good.
Grover.
Good.
I mean, I'm going to go with far because I can do this podcast from far away.
Aw. Aww. Yeah, I'll go far because it does mean that we get to have more guests.
True.
Uh-huh.
Salsa?
I'm. I'm gonna go with far.
All right. I am also gonna go with far away. Question number four.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is America's new favorite game show. Leg or salsa?
I'm pretty sure this is entirely leg.
Por qué no los dos?
Yeah, could be both. Yeah.
Fire pit.
Mm-hmm.
Or grilling.
Ooh, we just ordered a fire pit. And it's being sent to us on a semi. Like, and we've got the bill of lading and everything. It's like an official semi, like, shipment, because we have a bill of lading and everything. So I'm going to go with fire pit.
All right.
I like me a good fire.
I am very much missing sitting around the fire with my camping friends.
I am also going to go fire pit. And question number five.
We'll fix it in post. We'll fix it in post.
Question number five, salsa or James?
Oh, very clearly salsa on this one.
Very clearly salsa. I think.
Let's see. Well, salsa is an OG AON member.
That is true. But is that a vote for or against?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. James does have more luxurious locks, I believe.
It's true.
Mm. Yeah. It's got a sweet braid.
Sweet braid, dude.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just shaved my hair down to like 12 millimeters of length. So.
And that's a good look on you. Bryn just saw my baby book during Mother's Day, visiting my parents' place. I was able to point to several of my high school pictures and say, this is why I have long hair. This is why I will never have short hair ever again. So that you are not dating that guy.
Okay, so I'm going with salsa.
All right. You're both going salsa?
Mm-hmm.
Salsa, did you go salsa?
I went full salsa.
Yeah, salsa just goes full salsa all the time.
Right. Well, I think I will then go with James just for the off chance that I might be able to be right and the rest of you wrong. So that was five questions. Are you ready for the context?
Boy, howdy.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
All right. Question number one, in or out? When everything is vaccinated and safe and ready, are you more excited to go out? So out to restaurants, out to places, or stay in and have people come over?
Stay in.
The second one.
Yeah, I have to switch to in because we have no entertaining space. We want to entertain. We just need to be able to entertain.
I said going out because I miss going out to a sushi bar so bad.
Oh, dang.
I miss restaurants. I miss going out to a bar with friends. I miss all of that stuff. I'm an out person. But only barely.
My wife brought us back noodles from her favorite noodle place in D.C. near her job because she had to go to the doctor, which is also near her job. So because we've all been working from home for over a year now. So she was like, I got nushi. It's great. And I've never had it. And it is real good. It's real good. Even at home.
All
excellent.
Right. And I knew salsa was in.
Yep. What a surprise!
I know, right?
There are
question number two, large.
I was just going to say there are a couple things like sushi restaurants that I would love to be able to go to again, but for the most part, no. I want y'all to come here.
Yeah, hockey games, open skate.
So question number two, large or small? What kind of parties are you most excited to attend?
Small.
Yeah. I've
never liked large parties.
I like hosting large parties, but I don't like attending large parties. Like, I like knowing everyone at the party. I don't like, if there's someone there I don't know, I get social anxiety kicks in.
Jeez. I feel the exact opposite about it. If I'm hosting a party, I want it to be small because as the host, I feel like I should be interacting with everyone and making sure that everyone's needs are met. But if it's somebody else's large party, I can just do whatever. I can sit down at their kitchen table and start playing cards and draw a crowd. And then just hang out with whoever they are and meet them and get to know them and make friends and not have to move.
Yeah, I like just flitting from group to group and being like, oh, you're doing okay. Okay, good. Like, how about these people over here? Oh, are you having fun? Like,
I'm with Troy.
Yeah, I worked far too much retail in my younger days. And like, hosting a large party is just feels right.
Yeah, I like going to going to both large and small parties. I like throwing large parties and small gatherings. like a specific group of people as opposed to a small party. That's kind of a different breakdown in my head.
Sure.
I like people. I'm an extrovert. I'm going insane. Somebody help me, please. but right now, because I haven't had a lot of people, I'm all about the big parties. I want to get out there and interact and mingle as soon as things are safer again, that kind of a thing can happen. I'm there. I will attend all of your large parties. Invite me to large parties. Invite me to small parties. Invite me anywhere. Oh, dear God in heaven, I'm going crazy. Somebody help me. Question number three. far away or up close, how do you prefer viewing fireworks? Many displays from far away so that you can see all sorts of different displays going on, or one display up close?
Oh, I love one display up close. Like, I want, like, when they send up those ones that are just like a buff flashbang, like, I want to feel, like, in my chest that boom hit me. Like, oh, I love a good up close fireworks display.
I'm going to go near as well, yeah.
I'm going to go far away. It's fun lighting off fireworks and things like that, but I really, like, I love the gigantic, spectacular ones. That
yeah,
but, just like $1 million of city funds went into.
Yeah, but I would like, I want to be up close to that, like, or just like laying back on a blanket or something and looking up at the sky and just having like that big like fireworks display right over me.
I know I've told the story about the fireworks display that went awry when I was a kid, and that is definitely why I prefer my fireworks displays from far away. but I mean, sometimes I miss just the feeling of everything coming down at and around you and then stopping. I don't miss the point where it didn't stop, but yeah. But no, the other thing that I have in my mind is doing convergence. For several years, you could go up to the top floor of the Radisson South and watch like 6 to 8 different fireworks displays that were going on. And that was delightful. It was like, I am on top of the world and I can see all of them.
That does sound amazing.
The problem I have with a distant fireworks display, though, is it doesn't feel like a fireworks display. It's just like, it's this tiny little, like, half an inch tall little out there, and it's just like, I'm not getting anything out of that, you know. Troy said, I need to feel that, I need to, you know, I need it to be big, I need it to be a spectacle.
Yeah, I've felt that already. I'm good.
Distant fireworks display is my Modest Mouse cover band.
All right. Okay. My headset is about to die. I'm going to swap batteries. Give me one moment. Talk amongst yourselves.
This is going to be a thing.
So
what do we say about it, guys?
How about them Uzbekis?
Yeah, do you think she's gonna change with like 1% left? Like a Mission Impossible movie?
Yeah, yeah. Dun 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 dun. It's amazing.
Okay, so I just did question number three. Question number four, fire pit or grilling?
Mm-hmm.
If Joe were to host a party, which would you prefer to attend?
Grilling.
Yeah, I think I would chain him to a grill.
Yeah.
You don't have to. He'll just naturally gravitate towards it.
Oh, no, he doesn't have to. He just wants to.
Right.
I just make sure it happens. That's all I'm saying.
Don't cook shame.
Is that grilling?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to say grilling, too. I will change my mind.
Yeah. I obviously will spend most any kind of time around my boyfriend. But I enjoy the, oh, shut up. I enjoy the, the, the fireball, fire pit, kind of drinking around the fire times that we've had, both just us during all of this, but also with other people. I love that relaxed talking and getting to chill and have conversations and stuff.
Yeah.
And when Joe's grilling, when he's hosting a thing, he's just like moving constantly back and forth, and his food is delicious, but I don't get to really talk to my boyfriend. So.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're being awfully selfish by saying grilling. I'm going to stick with that answer.
I'm like,
I'm fine either way. Like, there's different aspects of it, but yeah.
No, I made peace with it.
All right.
We've made our decision.
Well, and question number 5. Salsa or James? If Troy were to come up to Minnesota and he could only visit with one of them,
oh,
who would he visit with?
Salsa, I think he would visit James? Salsa.
Hmm.
Salsa does a lot more with mead.
Yeah, we probably we would drink a lot. I mean, there's definitely that.
Salsa's an OG host.
Yeah, I know I have quote unquote known Salsa longer. Or I've known of Salsa longer. Maybe that's a better term.
I mean,
that's
obvious, obvious answer is me, but I deliberately took myself out of this.
I mean, I do know where Salsa lives. I don't know where James lives. So I think I would have to say Salsa because I could find Salsa's
place.
There you go.
Yeah.
That is an excellent answer. Well reasoned.
Yeah.
Yes. So yeah,
and that's slightly that terrifying. All
right. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send 2 emails to salsa@a1podcast.com. The first one should include the choices, and the second one repeat those choices and then give us some context. Who has a shout out?
I want to give a shout out to it's a product, I think it's a Paul Mitchell product. It's a tea tree lavender mint conditioning leave-in spray. It's been doing amazing things for my hair, and it sounds magnificent, or smells magnificent.
For varying degrees of synesthesia.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been the most wonderful, energizing, yet calming scent I have ever come across.
Hmm.
And I'm just going to give a shout-out to that.
I am going to give a shout out to Chris Rodriguez, who is not just an amazing human being, but is also an amazing co-host for video game streaming, and also had a birthday recently, just within the last like day, had a birthday, and just phenomenal human being, stellar comedic actor and improv person. So I wholeheartedly endorse, if you get the opportunity to see a show with Chris Rodriguez in it, fucking do it. Salsa.
I'm going to give my shout out to my wife. I know, big surprise. It's not the first time, won't be the last. Yesterday was Mother's Day for those that aren't aware, and she is the best wife and mother to my children that I could possibly ask for, and she's fucking amazing. So there.
Yeah.
All right. I will give a shout out to Fearless Comedy, specifically the podcasting community, because you all have given me, at this point, months, if not years, of enjoyment, and that includes AON, the High Five podcast.
Curse them.
Yep. News from Honeytown, which I think Keith DeLune had the best commercial ever on that, which was something. It was like an emergency flower service, which was amazing. I was listening to it in the car. My wife wasn't paying any attention until that commercial came on. She's like, oh my god, that's fucking amazing, what is that? I'm like, one, it's a joke, but but yeah, no, like, and that goes, yeah, I mean, and this, so, you know, that's Salsa, Jenna, James, Matt, may he rest in peace, Eric, Jason, Lauren, Kayla, Brianna, yeah, all those people, yeah, probably years of enjoyment at this point, given all the time I've listened to podcasts from you all.
Excellent. Well, it's been great being being podcast friends with you.
Troy, yeah. how did you discover us?
Oh, well, let me give you the James-style version of this. Okay.
Oh, God, we don't have time.
I was playing an online game called Kingdom of Loathing.
Oh, okay.
And,
that's
yep.
Right.
And, no, no, we'll get there. Well, no, Salsa.
Okay.
I gotta go full James on this one.
God,
so I was playing an online game called Kingdom of Loathing, and they have a radio show which featured the creator and a guy named Mr. Skullhead, mm-hmm. who some people know as Joshua Knight. He went on to create a podcast called Horror Show Hot Dog, mm-hmm. Where he watched and reviewed movies with Matt, may he rest in peace, and a couple other hosts over the years. And I was listening to that for a while, and then Matt, may he rest in peace, mentioned Apropos of Nothing a couple of times. So I said, hey, yo, I think he's entertaining, so I'll start listening to that podcast. And
how disappointed yeah. you were.
And somehow I just kept listening because apparently I'm a masochist.
Yeah, now it's sunk cost fallacy is yep. what it is. It's got to get good sometime.
Yeah, so you could thank Kingdom of Loathing for that.
Oh, excellent.
I was on that podcast once years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I was not.
Back in the good old days.
There we go.
All right. What's next? Oh, who's?
I have something to plug.
I got nothing to plug this week.
Friday. Get your invisible and free tickets to the Vil Coitus Interruptus, so to speak, like Vil Interruptus show, and pull up a slightly earlier than usual chair to watch five of us duke it out in the cage match fashion, like queens in a hive.
Nice.
Indeed. Yeah.
Well,
and yeah,
then whoever
so that's,
wins has to run through the streets and get fucked by 20 people.
Yeah.
I mean, they get to.
All right.
I also actually have something to plug.
Hey.
Well, also in addition to turning me on to Apropos of Nothing.
Oh, okay. That ended differently than I thought.
Matt turned me on to a podcast called Slaughterhouse Princess. As you all know, I enjoy interacting with podcasters. And they invited me to be on an episode, and that was like episode 52, and we're now somewhere in the 300s. And we watch a movie, and then we usually drink while doing so, and then we podcast about that movie and describe it, usually poorly because we've been drinking from the start of the movie until that point. And then we tell you if we think we should watch it or not. And our tagline is, while their podcasts think about movies, we drink about movies. And our listeners like to make us watch really bad movies. Like, I mean, we did Birdemic for it already. That was entertaining, actually. We've seen some really bad ones. Like, just...
Jeez.
But, I mean, we also get good ones in there sometimes. And sometimes we feel silly and, like, we'll watch Pitch Perfect or something
that. Oh, wow.
Yeah, we did for Halloween. Usually for October, we don't do horror movies. We do something other than horror movies because, you know, I mean, every other horror movie podcast, you know, goes nuts during October. So
oh,
we just
yeah,
do something
sure.
different.
Yeah.
So, but we are three, like, white, hetero, cis men talking to each other while drinking, so I understand if it's not for everyone.
It's but... 90% of podcasts.
Well, there's yeah, not enough really podcasts yeah. that so.
Yeah, so yeah, we're filling a niche. That's what I'm hearing. Cool.
I think just based on how entertaining you've been tonight, I think that's an easy recommend. I think I'll give that a shot.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I'll send you some suggested episodes just so you get like the highlight reel as opposed to whatever we're putting
the
out.
Low light reel.
Whatever we're putting out this week, which is what do we do this week? We did Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. It was like a 1973 made for TV movie.
I actually watched that.
Oh, well then maybe you want to listen to that one. That'll come out on
don't
Tuesday.
Have to watch it. Yes.
That will be out on Tuesday. It's just me and Chris.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah, we record on Sundays, so one of the guys was out having dinner with his mom for Mother's Day, but the other two of us apparently don't care about our mothers.
Yeah.
And did a podcast.
Anything else?
Excellent.
No, that's my plug.
Do you have
us a link to the honey show?
Yeah, can people buy honey or things from that?
We're actually currently out of honey, but if you go to Facebook, we have a Facebook page called Niskaya Bees. That is Neskaya Bees. And you can follow. We try to post there whenever we go out to the bees to let you, you know, to describe how they're doing, why they are the way they are, things like that. So if you liked my hour-long spiel on bees, you can get that probably.
And we did.
Fortnightly, yeah. Currently.
Fortnightly.
Yeah. Ooh. Because bi-weekly doesn't really work and semi-weekly doesn't work for 14 days, but fortnightly is the way to go.
I like fortnightly.
Yeah. and that's I think that's all the commercial stuff we do.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. any final thoughts?
Yeah, I was thinking, bye, bye, I love you, bye, bye, bye.
All right, in that case, thank you so very much to our very, 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 very special guest, Troy.
Yay!
Thank you to Jenna for giving us a Fast Five. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna and Troy, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal jazz fingers.
Verbal jazz fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.